Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
Would you walk us through a typical day?
Burger King, Wendy's, and McDonald's.
Stop spending!
I'm president, and you're not.
This is the greatest country in the world, but we do have some really stupid people representing it from time to time.
I am proud to shut down the government. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I don't think he's a smart person, but he's got a loud voice.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Ah, geez. Here I'm distracted right before the show. Carol's got that story about the scooters in Forest Park. And Ogilvy was quoted. Ogilvy, of course, used to be on the Reardon Roundtable. Hey, Fred, we could still have Scott on the roundtable, even though he's not an alderman, right? I mean, there's no rule against that. Transportation policy analyst or something like that. But they're going to limit how fast you can go. I still haven't been on one of these things. I've almost been run over by one of them. But I guess it's got, I was searching for this word, because I remember this in terms of renting a U-Haul to move years ago, and they have one of those things. It's called the governor. The word I was looking for is governor, to limit how fast you go. And Dave, you had never heard that term before now. So just to give an example, ladies and gentlemen, of what I have to put up with on a daily basis with my numbskull producer, he said, "You mean like Schwarzenegger?" That's funny. You get dad joke central here. So I don't know. Then he asked, why is it called that? I don't know. I don't know why it's called that. Don't know. All I know is it takes your freedom away if you want to go fast. All right. So let's focus on our president here from a bit of a different perspective. And I'm going to do something this afternoon that I haven't done very often recently, and certainly not to kick the show off. We're going to take some phone calls. And I want to get reaction here to Joe Walsh, who is a former Chicago area congressman, does a radio talk show now. He was a leading birther. I mean, he certainly was one of the guys when he came in as a Tea Party member. He even admits now, he called President Obama a Muslim. He's had a change of heart on a lot of different things relating to President Trump. He was on a podcast. He's been making the media rounds because I think at this point, it's pretty fair to say that Joe Walsh is going to try to primary Donald Trump. Now, whether or not that's a good idea, we can have a conversation about that. But he's doing the media rounds. He was on the podcast on The Bulwark from my friend and former colleague, Charlie Sykes, who is a leading never Trumper. He's not exactly in the same position that a lot of other conservatives are. He led the movement a couple of years ago after interviewing Donald Trump, and some people might remember that. So Charlie has Joe on and talked about a bunch of different things. He wrote a New York Times piece that criticized Donald Trump, that apologized for his past behavior. He addressed the silence of other members of Congress right now.
This was just one more morning that you and I and everybody else in this great country woke up, reminded again that Donald Trump is completely unfit to be president. That's not news. What I continue to find most disappointing, Charlie Sykes, is once again this morning, is the continued cowardly silence of congressional Republicans in the face of this overwhelming truth that Donald Trump is completely unfit. Everybody, Charlie, everybody knows it. Every Republican knows it. So few say that publicly.
All right, one thing that I will tell you in conversations that I have with people either who are in Congress, who are close to people in Congress, that what Joe Walsh said right there is pretty accurate. There's a lot of people that have differing opinions that they're not willing to share publicly about Donald Trump. And I think a lot of people, even if you voted for him or maybe supported him in the past, or maybe you still do, you roll your eyes when he does things that, are off the script. And they serve as diversions and red meat for the other side. So Walsh, who's had this amazing transformation because he was a birther and a little, I think it's fair to say a lot of people thought Joe Walsh was pretty crazy. I never gave him that much attention just because I thought he was, I think Doug High said this on Twitter, he was Trumpy before Trump, Joe Walsh was. But now he says, well, the president lies all the time.
To me, Charlie, with Trump, it's always kind of come down to this. He's fundamentally dishonest. He lies every time he opens his mouth. He's been doing it his whole life. I voted for him in 2016, as you know, not because I loved him and not because I liked him, but because he wasn't Hillary Clinton. When I voted for him, Charlie, I just figured he's a goof, but he'll hire some good people and maybe some good policy will get enacted. It became pretty clear to me after he got elected, just following him and paying attention to him every day, again, that he lies every time he opens his mouth. And I can't have a president like that. I don't care what your politics are. If you can't believe a single word your president says, then you can't support that president.
Okay, so now he says that Republicans, and this is all building to a run for the White House. What's interesting is he has, within a several-hour period, a bit of a transformation that's very rapid, where he is essentially asked, and we'll get to this in a second, will he challenge Trump? He's asked that on CNN and had a different answer. But he insists that the Republicans, and this is what I want to dial down on and drill down on a little bit here, need alternatives.
I think we're tired of this guy. I'm talking about Republicans. We're tired of the bullshit. We're tired of his daily drama. I think people are really tired of the Donald Trump show. I think Republicans are. I think they need a few people to stick their necks out and present them with an alternative. Yeah, 80, 90% of Republicans support him, but I've seen polling in New Hampshire and elsewhere where half of Republicans would like to see a primary challenge. It's going to take a few people to maybe get something to snowball, but I believe, and I don't think I'm wrong, I really do believe that everything I say about that man publicly, I do believe the vast majority of Republicans believe it privately. They just need to know, Charlie, that maybe they can get somebody strong on the borders and all of the rest and somebody who's going to continue to push limited government policies without all the ugliness, the cruelty, the lying, and just the daily drama. I don't know, Charlie. Aren't you just tired of it?
All right. So, well, I think a lot of people are tired of it. That's Congressman, former Congressman Joe Walsh. He does a radio show now, and he's talking like he's going to challenge Donald J. Trump for the Republican nomination. He's speaking to Charlie Sykes, my former colleague, who does a podcast now at The Bulwark, B-U-L-W-A-R-K, TheBulwark.com. So is he running?
I'm not trying to be cute or coy or clever, because I can't be. I haven't ruled it out. Charlie, I know I know two things at this point. The only reason you primary Donald Trump is the moral case. He's unfit. You have to get him out of the White House.
Okay.
And if somebody's going to challenge him, Charlie, you better get out there pretty quickly.
So why would, hypothetically, why would Joe Walsh be better than Mark Sanford, John Kasich, Jeff Flake?
All good men, but Mark Sanford and maybe Kasich or Flake could make this case as well as I could. It's the moral case. I've seen Mark out there now for a few weeks, and he's talking about the debt and the deficits. I'm sorry, the debt and the deficits is an issue, but you don't primary Trump because you want to start a conversation about the debt. That just doesn't make sense. I wrote the New York Times piece, Charlie, because I would love somebody bigger and better than Joe Walsh to step up and do this.
So he said there that he can't rule it out. He was on later with John Berman on CNN.
Are you running against him?
I'm strongly, strongly considering it. The only way you primary Donald Trump and beat him is to expose him for the con man he is. And if I did it, John, that's what I'd do. I'd punch him every single day.
All right, so it sounds like, look, that was a very quick transformation there. I'm not ruling it out, then I'm strongly, strongly considering it. I think there is a notion that Joe Walsh is going to get into this race very quickly. Now, is that a smart move? I don't think he's got a shot here at unseating Trump in a primary, but I think he wants to make some points that might stick, might not. 436-7900. Here's what he said, and I'll toss this out to those of you who even voted for Trump in the past in particular and supported him. And a lot of you held your nose. You know, you did it for Supreme Court picks. You did it for the economy, for less regulation. You got a lot of that. Maybe some of you did it for the wall, which you really haven't gotten. But he says and asks this question.
I think we're tired of this guy. I'm talking about Republicans. We're tired of the bullshit. We're tired of his daily drama. I think people are really tired of the Donald Trump show. I think Republicans are.
So he still has 80 to 90% support with Republicans, but are we seeing some of that turn right now, especially after the last few weeks? 436-7900, 1-800-925-1120. Jump on in here on a Thursday afternoon on KMOX.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
I think it's interesting because outside of Joe Walsh, there's a bunch of things going on right now with Scaramucci and the Mooch saying, I'm getting former cabinet members together to warn everyone about why there shouldn't be another term or whatever he's saying. And then Joe Walsh, former congressman, he was a flamethrower. He admits it in this podcast with my friend and former colleague, Charlie Sykes. He writes this piece for the New York Times. He certainly sounds like he's getting in a race for president to primary Trump.
Maybe I wrote the New York Times piece and I say this to publicly apologize for the role that I did play in putting an unfit con man in the White House. Look, Charlie Sykes, you maybe didn't like me when I went to Congress in 2010 because I went there to raise hell. I was part of that Tea Party class. I believe this country is divided. I believe we're divided along policies and ideas. And I've been at the front lines of that fight for 9 to 10 years. Plenty of times during that fight, I went over the line. I got personal. I said stupid things. I'm very outspoken. I said Barack Obama was a Muslim on more than one occasion, a terrible, ugly thing to say that I apologize for. There are plenty of instances like that where I got personal in my rhetoric instead of focusing on the policy.
So what's interesting is, you know, let's say this is not going to happen as far as him getting the nomination. I think it would be very unlikely. But let's say in some way, shape or form it would. You'd have pretty much the entire left wouldn't let him off the hook, even though he apologized for some of the things that he said in the past. So let's take some phone calls on this. John, you're on KMOX. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, I've been following Joe Walsh on Twitter for a while. I follow you too, but and I saw an article on Politico today by Rich Lowry, who basically makes the same argument. And this is the problem I have with Donald Trump. Okay, and I'm a former Democrat who left the party years ago, and I kind of hack off at both sides right,
right.
Now.
Well, you and a lot of people.
But my problem with Donald Trump is not his policies. Yeah, I disagree with the tariff wars and I disagree with some of the stuff he does in his foreign policy. My problem is I just think he's not a very good person. He lies, he obfuscates, he goes forward, then he retreats, he changes his mind, he does all of that. And I think people are just tired of that. It's the daily drama, you know. You wake up and it's like, oh my God, what's he done on Twitter today, or you know, whatever. And I think that wears people out.
It does. It does. Let me explain just where I am on this right now, which is interesting. Just an evolution that I've had because, and I don't know, John. You know, I did not vote for Donald Trump, and I in all likelihood
I didn't either.
Yeah, because look, he's a reprehensible human being. Okay, he's just reprehensible. There's no two ways about it. And I don't care if you want to disagree. If someone wants to disagree, he's reprehensible. It's disgusting, his behavior. However, you know, I didn't vote for him. I guess I was a never Trumper a few years ago. As time goes on, and this is what's interesting, and I don't know if I'm unique in this sense, I tend to support him more than I ever did because I get so sick of some of the crap that happens from the other side. And the Brett Kavanaugh, you know, experience from last fall comes to the top of the list because I thought he was so unfairly treated. And even this stuff with Mueller, and now we're on to race. It is ridiculous, some of the things that people are saying about just what Trump might represent or what he might not represent. You could say enough things about what he really says without trying to make things up and try to put words or ideas into his head. So I don't know if I'm unique in that sense because I would say there's a better chance now that I would vote for him next year only because the other side has such incompetent candidates themselves. And I wouldn't want to see Hiawatha up there as somebody else.
I agree with you completely. I mean, that's one of the reasons I left the Democratic Party was that they in their own way are just as nutty as Donald Trump is perceived to be. Like yesterday when when he was making the comment about being the chosen one, okay? If you noticed, he said I feel like I'm the chosen one on this thing with China. Okay. Now you can, whether you agree with it or not, what he's doing. I mean, you know, you read Twitter world, and as much as I scoff at Twitter, that's politics now.
Yeah, look, he says things all the time. When he says he's the chosen one, I don't think he meant Christ-like. He meant, look, this is his role right now because he's in a position to do something about it. I think that, you know, again, his words get misinterpreted quite a bit because people jump on him. But look, John, I appreciate the phone call. I want to get a couple more people in here this afternoon. John, you're on KMOX. Another John.
Hey, Mark, one quick thing. The Democrat nominees were just running around calling Michael Brown a police officer and shot him a murderer.
Politicians, right.
they all lie. Every one of them lie. Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, they're all lying about everything. So I get over that. First of this guy, Walsh, I don't think he's going to run. I think he's just trying to encourage other people to run. That's why he keeps saying how to do it. He kept
I think he's going to run. I think he's going to roll something out pretty quick, but we'll see.
We'll see. And then the other thing is he said the exact same thing the last caller just said. Everybody likes his policies. They just don't like, you know, the way he goes about doing it. And this Walsh guy said the same thing. We want somebody to implement his policies, but just not him.
Yeah. Well, so my friend Ted Nugent has told me on many occasions when I have raised issues about whether his behavior is presidential, Mark, you just don't understand. This is why we elected him. We wanted someone who wasn't presidential. And I think there's a lot to that, because you can get to a point, and you see this with the way that he gets in the left's head at every turn. And I think some of this is on purpose, because he knows he can manipulate them. When all is said and done, when you wake up in the morning and you see the offensive tweet, or you see the behavior, or he's making fun or ripping into someone that's ripped into him, whatever the situation may be, it's been happening for 4 years. It's going to continue. It's not going to magically go away during the campaign. So it is what it is. So if you can separate all of that stuff out, is he embarrassing? Yeah. Does he embarrass the country? I don't know, I guess. I grew up in an era where people didn't like Ronald Reagan, and they hated Ronald Reagan. So I'm not too concerned about what Europe thinks about us or anything like that. I would like, here's something that I would like from my Republican presidential hopeful or president, and that would be stopping a $1 trillion deficit, which will be in effect next year. Now, I was told by Donald Trump 4 years ago that he was going to do that. He was going to wipe that out. Didn't happen. So we've lost all sense of actually fixing things that need fixing, like the entitlements. And it's just all about being a rock star, I guess. So I would like to support more of what he does policy-wise, but I don't think we're going to get any policy in the next 18 months, 17, 16 months, however long it is now. The summer's going by quickly. Cindy, you're on KMOX.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Yep, good afternoon. Go ahead.
I called you the day after Trump was elected and told you that I voted for him, and I was afraid that it was one of the worst decisions I've made in my life. And I have to say that I feel that way now. I won't vote for him, and I won't vote for it. I'm a Democrat who went to the Republicans because the Democrats want to give everything away. But I feel like if there's a Libertarian or a third party, I know that's going to cause problems, but I just won't vote for anybody if it's Trump, which it probably will be. I can't consciously do that again.
Well, and you're in, I'm sorry, Cindy, you're in Missouri or Illinois?
I'm in Missouri.
Yeah, so in Missouri might not make too much of a difference because of the level of support. But the question is, are there enough people like you in Ohio and Michigan and Wisconsin? That's what's going to be interesting next year. Michael, you're on KMOX.
Hi, Mark. You keep saying that you're a conservative. I've yet to hear you say one conservative thing. You're always...
You've never listened to the show then, apparently.
No, I listen to all...
No, you don't, because explain what I've said that isn't conservative. Let's start there.
Well, you're against Donald Trump, first of all. You can't be a conservative.
Well, Donald Trump is not a conservative. That's why I'm against Donald Trump being a conservative, because he ain't a conservative. You understand that, Michael. If you're not smart enough to realize that, I cannot help you.
No, I didn't say he's a conservative, but the conservative people would be voting for Donald Trump versus the Democrats.
Well, I didn't vote for a Democrat.
Who'd you vote for then?
I wrote in the name of a friend of mine in Wisconsin. His name is John Jagler. He's a state rep up there. God, you think I would have voted for Hillary Clinton? I've made that very clear, Michael, so apparently you haven't listened to the show. Now, I think a conservative idea, you said I haven't said anything for years. I've been in afternoon drive for 12 years now. I've talked about the debt and the deficit, which I think we should make moves to maybe reduce, like reduce government spending, limited government, not expanding government like Josh Hawley, a guy who I think is conservative, who's acting anything but conservative with this nanny state nonsense that he's pushing with the internet. So we got a president and a Congress right now that's pushed the deficit to higher levels than we've ever had when we sat here for years blasting into Barack Obama for doing the exact damn thing. That's the height of hypocrisy, and I have not been a party to it because I won't be. So you're just full of you-know-what, Michael, and the other people who say I'm a rhino because I supported Paul Ryan, who had more conservative principles in his fingernail than Donald J. Trump. Now, that doesn't mean I don't support things that the president does. I do. I supported the Supreme Court pick. I supported the tax cut. I support most of the foreign policy. But you don't know what the definition, Michael, of conservative is. That's your problem.
No, I'm
guarantee you don't.
No, I'm a Goldwater. If you think Josh Hawley's a conservative, you're wrong.
Well, apparently I am wrong, but I guarantee you that most people think that he is. In what way? Let me challenge you on that. In what way is Josh Hawley, outside of the nanny state nonsense, not a conservative?
He got rid of Eric Greitens. He was one of those people.
Okay. I can't help Michael. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. He's got no sense of what ideology means, so I can't help people like that, so I give up.
Get ready for the Cards and Colorado Rockies tonight. Ameren Total Access, 550. First pitch, 645. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Yeah, Rockies in town. Couple things Cardinals related. It is KMOX Cardinals Hall of Fame week. I have Bruce Sutter coming up a little bit later this afternoon. Ray Lankford tomorrow. I know Ray's going to be in town for the Hall of Fame ceremonies this weekend over at Ballpark Village in Busch Stadium, so that'll be fun. We have John Rooney at 4:20 this afternoon. The state treasurer of Missouri, Scott Fitzpatrick, is with me in the studio this afternoon. Scott, how are you? Welcome to KMOX.
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
This is the first time I think that you and I have met in person. You had a, I guess you would say, like an unusual transition into this job because there was some chess match stuff going on with, this all started with Eric Greitens leaving office, I think it's fair to say. But, you know, the official state office holder of the Mark Reardon Show is Eric Schmidt, who had moved into a role as Attorney General that opened and created the role for you.
Yeah, I talked to Attorney General Schmidt earlier today and
put him on the map, you know. He would tell you that, too.
He
would be nothing if not for the Mark Reardon Show. I think he knows that, Scott.
I think he probably does.
No, he's a good guy. I like Eric a lot, and I've said this often because I think he's, and I don't know you, so I'm not putting you in this group, but he's kind of rare in politics because he's a real guy. He still has a sense of humor. He's not acting any differently than he was before he was state treasurer, before he was attorney general, and I really like that about him. So, and he's a good principled guy, so I like Eric a lot.
I'm in the same camp. He's a great guy, and I've enjoyed getting to know him. He was in the Senate when I was in the House for a little while, yeah. And then became the treasurer. I've called on him several times as he transitioned to the Attorney General's office as I was figuring things out, and he's always been very, very helpful.
So you are, how old are you? I usually ask guests
it's fine. I'm 31.
31 years old, state office holder. Are you in record territory there at all?
I don't think so.
Matt Blount younger.
Yeah,
than
I think
that?
He was like 28 or 29 when he ran for Secretary of State. So he's young. I don't know. I may or may not be the youngest treasurer in Missouri, but I'm not sure. Honestly, I haven't done the research.
But that's pretty young to be a state office holder.
Yeah, I think that we can all agree on that. It is relatively young.
Do you have, before I ask you something specific to the office, we'll talk about the 529 plan, and I know unclaimed property is always a big role of the treasurer. This special session that the governor is calling over the rural car sales, can you explain that? Because I think I have a grasp of it, but it would be helpful for those people who are confused out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so from what I understand, there was a case that worked its way through the court, and the Supreme Court decided that, I think it was called Kellenbrink, versus the Director of Revenue, and I think the Supreme Court essentially clarified for us that when somebody trades a car in, right, you get a sales tax credit. If you trade a car in for a new car, the trade-in value of the car you traded in is discounted from the sale price.
Yeah, so if you're buying a $30,000 car, but you're trading something in that is $10,000, then you're paying the sales tax on the difference, on the
$20,000. Right, pay the $20,000, pay sales tax on $20,000. And what's come up is that sometimes people will have multiple vehicles that they sell and want to claim a credit for the value of both of those vehicles.
Yeah, so you got two, you got one car, and then you got, maybe you got a beater, and both combined are $5,000 or $8,000 or something
sure.
like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the court clarified that you could only use a credit from a single vehicle or boat or trailer or boat motor as a credit against the trade for tax purposes. And so that is a departure from practice that's been employed by the Department of Revenue in the past. And the governor, and I think rightfully, decided to take advantage of the period of time that the legislature will already be in Jefferson City for the special session and get that rectified so we can get back to the way it was and people are able to not have to pay sales tax on money that they shouldn't have to pay sales tax on.
Just a quick fix based on that Supreme Court decision, which seems to make a lot of sense. I didn't realize that affected as many people as it's said to affect, like 3,000 people in rural Missouri or in outstate Missouri. What's the condition right now? One of the stories last year, and I can't remember, I think maybe I had you on talking about the withholding tables and the revenue coming into the state, which was way off last year, even to the point, I think, earlier this year. That has not been something that I've even thought about in a while. Does that mean it's sort of rectified?
Yeah, we kind of figured out what the issue was. A lot of it was everybody thought the Department of Revenue made a mistake, you know, but really the driver of why the revenue was so off was just a timing change based on kind of the way the federal and state tax laws work together on how money was withheld from paychecks. And so what it did was it shifted more of the, instead of people, a bunch of people getting refunds, their withholdings were more level throughout the year. And so the state wasn't collecting as much throughout the year from people. But then at the end of the year, we didn't pay out as much in refunds. So it kind of balanced out towards the end of the year. And we've kind of adjusted for that in our cash flow models and everything. So things are going well for the state now in terms of cash flow. I think the economy in the state's strong. So we're not seeing, I mean, I think we're up. You know, yesterday we were up probably 8% for the year.
But some of the numbers, I mean, when you looked at them monthly, even sometimes weekly by weekly, those revenues were down significantly, which I think gave a lot of people pause.
Yeah. The first 2 months of the fiscal year, the state's fiscal year runs July through June, right? So the first 2 months of last fiscal year, we were down like 10%. And in state budget terms, that's a catastrophe.
Yeah, right.
That was a big deal, but everybody felt confident, you know, that, hey, we just got to get through this period of time and things will level out. And it did. And things are looking good so far for this year. The economy is still strong and revenue is doing well. So we're not too worried right this second.
Missouri State Treasurer Scott Fitzpatrick is in the studio with me this afternoon. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with a little more here in a moment on KMOX.
St. Louis's weather station, KMOX.
Baseball Hall of Famer and Cardinals Hall of Famer Bruce Sutter in the next hour at 3:20 on KMOX. State Treasurer Scott Fitzpatrick is in town right now making the rounds. Haven't met him in person until today. You've been in this job for how long now? How many months?
Let's see, about 7 months, middle of January to middle of August.
So what's the focus mainly in the office? I know that when Eric would come in here, we'd talk about the 529 plan. That's a big part of your responsibility as state treasurer, right?
It is, yeah. We run the 529 plan, and you know, it's an important program, especially with, you know, everybody, with all the student debt talk, you know, to try to encourage people to start planning for college early. So that's a huge focus for the office. It's actually one of the reasons we're in town today. We're going to be at CBC High School tonight at 6 o'clock talking about 529 and especially kind of trying to educate people on the new allowance for K-12 expenditures for tuition there.
What are those? I mean, so, I'll be aware.
Yeah, so and you know, when the Tax Reform Act of 2017, Tax Cut and Jobs Act passed, one of the components of that was a change that allowed 529 accounts, which have historically been used to save for college, to be used to pay private school tuition.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I did hear a little bit about this.
So, you know, it's something that still a lot of people aren't familiar with, but we want to try to educate people about it because there's a lot of people out there paying private school tuition. If they're not using a 529 account, they're basically just burning, you know, 5.5% of their money because you get a state tax deduction.
So if you, in theory, if you would dump enough of your money into that when your kids are really young, you might have tuition help for high school and for college.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can start using it at kindergarten, but you can use it all the way through high school and in college. And, you know, we encourage people to do that. Some people are already maxing out. You can put $16,000 a year into a 529 account, get a state tax deduction for that. Some people are already maxing that out, saving for college, and are paying tuition on top of that. But it's really, we're trying to focus on the people who may not have the income where they can save a lot right now, but they're still paying tuition. Trying to get people to understand that, you know, using this as a tool to save you money on taxes, and you should definitely use it if you can.
What about, and this is something I think I even saw the ads in the Post-Dispatch a couple of months ago for unclaimed property. That's one.
Yeah.
That always baffles me that there are so many people out there that have things that sort of fall through the cracks, and they, I guess, are held in ownership by your office, right, or by the state.
They are. It's unbelievable. We have $1 billion of unclaimed property. We get $100 million.
$1 billion.
Billion with a B. And we get about $100 million in every year in new unclaimed property.
Give me an example of some of the things that come in.
You get uncashed checks is a big part of it. So people, like, leave a job, and there's a paycheck that they didn't get or didn't cash is supposed to be turned over to us. We get life insurance proceeds. I had a lady who moved, and she was getting dividends from stock that she owned mailed to her old address. She forgot to have her address changed for the dividends. The checks never got cashed. They came over to us. It's just a lot of different, you can get, if you move and you had a deposit with a utility company and you close your account and they sent you your deposit back, you didn't get that. It's just unclaimed financial assets. Sometimes it's bank accounts. And we also get safe deposit box contents. We get about 1,000 safe deposit boxes every year turned over to us that we have to inventory. And obviously, there's a lot of interesting things in those. So
yeah, can we just do like a reality show about that? Because I bet that would be fascinating.
Yeah, I actually think we got contacted by a group that's like wanting to do an unclaimed property reality show. And you know, the thing is, we if we don't return stuff, we typically, after about 5 years, we'll take it to auction because we run out of space. You know, you have 5,000.
Where is it? Is it like a big vault or something?
We have a vault in the basement of the Truman Building in Jefferson City where we keep all the physical unclaimed property. Mm-hmm. And so it's all locked up in there. And, you know, obviously we'd like to be able to return as much of it as possible, but sometimes you just can't locate the people.
It's pretty easy right now. I mean, for someone listening, they can just go online and see if their name's up there.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. If you 1 in 10 people have unclaimed property in the state, so you know there's a 10% chance you've got unclaimed property. I think it's, you know, because it seems like everybody I meet has some, so it's like, you know, I think it's probably higher than that. But you just go to the treasurer's website, treasurer.mo.gov, or showmemoney.com, whichever one you like better, and you type in your name at the top. There's a search bar. Type in your name. You can type in your brother's name, your sister's name, your parents' name. And a lot of people don't know that even if their parents had unclaimed property and their parents passed away, they can still claim that property. You know, usually the estate goes through probate, or there's something in place that
sure
would allow people to claim that property. So I just encourage everybody to look at that.
So I'm just thinking through some of this from the standpoint of the progression of the property. I'm guessing it is a legal requirement for companies or banks or anyone else, if they cannot track the person down, that they have to turn that over to you?
Yeah. So it's typically if you have an inactive account or an uncashed check, or somebody hadn't paid rent on their safe deposit box for typically it's 5 years is what the most common number is, then the institution holding that property is required by state law to turn it over to us. And so when we receive that property, we entered into a database. We have some staff in our office that do proactive research, actually trying to locate people on the larger accounts. And then we send out postcards. We are required by law to put it in the paper. So we do advertising to try to locate
people. Hey, it's the only advertising the Post-Dispatch pretty much gets these days. So they appreciate our tax dollars at work.
Yeah.
State Treasurer Scott Fitzpatrick. Sorry, I can't help myself.
With some
blows over there to my friends at the Post. Let's talk politics just a little bit, because you stepped in here for Eric. That would mean that you would, if you so desire, would be up for re-election next year, right?
That is correct. Yeah, 2020 is the year. So the term that I was appointed to serve ends at the end of next year. And so
Have you declared that you're running?
Anybody who asks me, I tell them my plan is certainly to run.
But you haven't officially kicked it off or anything like that?
I think there's an order to the mayhem, I think, that'll take place where, you know, I think everybody's anticipating the governor announcing his reelection, and hopefully I think that'll occur sometime early next month, and I would expect some of us other statewide will officially declare our intentions. I don't know. It's always been a goofy thing about politics.
Right.
I've never really understood. It's like, are you running? Have you declared your running?
Yes, it has to be. Well, look, I just talked about Joe Walsh earlier this hour. In one interview today, he said, I'm I'm considering it, and then, or I haven't ruled it out, and then it was I'm considering it, and now it looks like he's running. So yeah. It only happens in a few hours sometimes.
Yeah, it's quite the evolution.
How do you look at this role as state treasurer compared to your time in the legislature? Because that can be a bit of a madhouse there. But you were in the majority, which makes it a little bit more fun.
I was. Yeah, I was in the majority, and I got to serve as the budget chairman, which I really enjoyed doing. And it was a, I really had a good time in the legislature. Nice thing is, I still got a lot of great friends in the legislature. There are a lot of good folks that are working on good policy, and I'm kind of a policy wonk in certain areas. And so I've had an opportunity to weigh in on certain policy areas that I'm interested in, and I'm still close with people working on the budget.
What would the policy areas be? Would that be, for example, the low-income tax credits?
Yeah, low-income tax credits is definitely one of the things that I engaged in pretty strongly during the session, but also the budget. You know, I really enjoyed the budget, and still have a great relationship with a lot of the folks on the budget committee, and was able to work with them on things throughout the year as well.
Well, thanks for coming in here. I know you're spending a little time in St. Louis. State Treasurer Scott Fitzpatrick, who was talking about the Most 529 plan. Easiest way to find out this information is just on the website.
Yeah, treasurer.mo.gov we have access to all the programs in the treasurer's office, including most.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Scott. I'm glad to meet you in person. And should you declare at a certain point, whenever that is, we'll certainly talk about that as we get into the next year as well. Scott Fitzpatrick, thanks for swinging by here this afternoon. As we get to the top of the hour, Carol's going to have all the top stories of the day. When we come back, you know, Brian Kelly from our newsroom had a pretty cool story about these guys out there, many, many men who are over 50 who are getting their first tattoo because of the St. Louis Blues. And he went out to a tattoo shop. So I'm going to have Brian chime in on that. Bruce Sutter coming up at 3:20. It is KMOX Cardinals Hall of Fame week. Who have I had? Ozzie Smith. Dave, who else have I had here this week? I can't remember. Ray Langford's coming up tomorrow. We had Ozzie. We had Jimmy Edmonds. Mike Shannon. How can I forget Mike? Yeah. So then we got Bruce today and Ray Langford, who, by the way, that dude is cut. I saw him at the golf tournament a few weeks ago. You got a lot of fat former athletes out there. They look not very good. Ray's looking very good, living down in Florida, taking great care of himself. So he's coming up tomorrow after the roundtable on KMOX. Hang in there. Second hour coming up.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!